Or so you think. So I'm gonna touch on that a little bit soon. Happy Father's Day, everyone. God bless all you fathers out there. Unfortunately, wasn't on the topic of fathers necessarily today, but we'll see what the Lord has to say. So now I was doing some math, and you know, today, to the day, exactly today, is actually 545 days since my last time I preached here. That's exactly a year and a half. So it's been a long time. I know it feels like, I know for me, probably it's felt like the longest that I've been away, and I miss you all very dearly. I don't do the best job of reaching out to people and everything I know, but I love you from the bottom of my heart. So I'm sorry if I don't do the best job of keeping that communication. But for those who are visiting who don't usually come, during the summer we have this Heart to Heart series. Throughout the year we go through whatever books that the chapel feels led to, and every week is a continuation of the last message. But in the summertime, we have this heart-to-heart series where it's just whoever's speaking, it's just they speak about whatever's been on their heart. So it's with a joyful heart, my dear family, I speak these words to you. This message is for you. This is the restless soul from my heart to yours. Let's take a moment to pray, though. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here today on this Father's Day, on this beautiful Sunday, God, to hear your word, to worship you, to remember your Son and for what he's done for us, that he shed his own blood for us, Lord, on the cross. God, we ask for your guidance in life, God. I would ask for your divine Holy Spirit to just give me the words to say, Lord. Let it reach somebody today, God. I pray that you give me the words to say. Lord, just let me get out of the way. Any pride that would be here, let it die. And God, I pray you just give me a humble heart to be able to speak these words, Lord. And even in this foolishness of preaching, or if there's arrogance, God, I pray that you would convict someone, that they would receive a message of encouragement, that they would hear something of teaching, that they would cause them to be changed in some way for you and for your kingdom. God, that they would leave here not the same. But we pray all these things in your name, the name above all names, in Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as you know, I've been in the Army now for, next month will be a year and a half. You can tell by my OCP uniform. My suit was all muddy from yesterday. I only have one suit, so I don't know. I figured it'd be kind of fitting anyways, but it's apparent that you don't get a lot of sleep always in the military. You know, I'm sure you've heard. You always stay up late, you're waking up super early, you learn to operate in restlessness. When I was in basic, I found great peace in God's word, as you could imagine, as a believer. I finally finished the book of Psalms last year, actually, in basic, and I can't tell you how much wisdom and just power that was there, and yeah, it's just affected me so greatly. You should read it. Psalms are good. You should give them a read sometime. But one of my absolute favorites, for me is Psalm 23. Obviously, y'all have heard of that one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? But so when I say the Psalms, what comes to your mind? I think for Tony, it was 116, right? Yeah, Psalm 116. And then for Ethan this morning, it was Psalm, was it 107, right? Yeah, so I guess I know their answers, but what Psalms come to your mind when you hear the book of Psalms? What comes to y'all's mind? Psalm 100? Let's hear a verse out of it. What does it say?
Shout for joy to the Lord.
Shout for joy to the Lord. Amen. Amen. What else? Who else
has
one?
Psalm 34.
34?
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Praise the Lord at all times. Yeah. Amen. It's a fitting verse, right? What about anyone else? Anyone else has a psalm?
Psalm 37.
37. What does that say? Delight
yourself in the Lord.
Give you the desires of your heart. That sounds familiar. And I actually didn't even have it in here, but then that reminds me, one of my favorites, Psalm, I think it was 63. Because the Lord loves me, my lips shall praise thee. I think it is. Yeah, it's just beautiful, beautiful. All right. So, and then Psalm 22, right? Psalm 22 is another one. The suffering servant is about Jesus quoting it on the cross. My God, why has thou forsaken me? And Psalm 51, right? Psalm of David showing true godly sorrow. Have mercy on me, O God. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. I don't know if I ever said this to you, but I was actually sitting in your kitchen when I really heard that for the first time, and where it really just took hold. So thank you for that. And what comes to mind is now one of my favorite psalms, 103. And you might hear something about that later, so keep that in mind. But and then you think of Psalm 19, right? The heavens declaring the glory of God, and the firmament showing his handiwork. And then Psalm 91, right? For anyone who doesn't know the nickname of that psalm, does anyone know the nickname of that psalm? Soldier's Psalm, which I learned before I left that I had no idea, and Mr. and Mrs. Ryland. I know a lot of people were saying that, but Mrs. and Mrs. Ryland, they'd have me sit down at the table at their house too, and they shared that psalm and they spoke that over me. And I wish they were here to hear that, but it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And I truly found rest and protection in God's presence here. And then the last psalm, right, 150. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, there's the psalms that when you read them, they just strike your soul, right? And just like you said too, Hebrews 4, right? Right? The word of God, it just it pierces you right to your heart. You know, I've been away for a time, like I said, and I don't know all what your hearts need to hear. So I'll share what mine did. And so we begin our reading. So for me, it's Psalm 77. Psalm 77 is where we are for this message. God doing something great over there?
They are ready.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
And so I have this commentary I was given, actually, as a William MacDonald commentary, and I was just reading. Obviously, I want to know a little bit more about this psalm. And at the end, a writer, I didn't specify who, but he summarizes this psalm in four parts, and it's very beautiful and very powerful. I only go up to verse, I think, 15, by the way, Sam. But he puts it into four parts, a way that the psalm goes. First part being the sighing from your soul. And then there's the sinking. And then later it turns to singing and then soaring. So that first verse, it says, I cried out to God with my voice. To God with my voice. He gave ear to me in the day of my trouble. I sought the Lord. My hand stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And, you know, it was really cool to hear Ethan share that psalm. Crying out to the Lord, right? You hear that. That's just such a common theme in the Psalms. You're just, you know, David and Asaph and a lot of these writers in the Psalms, the psalmists are just, they're crying out to God. They're crying out to the only one they're able to that can really help them. What does the Bible say? My help comes from the Lord. So do any of these words here in the Psalms so far, do any of these resonate with you? Crying out to God with your voice, with your soul. Where your heart and soul in some way have been shaken, right? And your life is filled with a mix of emotions. Some would have sleepless nights, days where all you can see and think about is the trial before you, right? The troubled soul is sighing in distress. You stretch out your hand and you feel like nothing is there, and you feel like no one's listening. You feel like no one's around you. The soul refuses to be comforted. In verse 4, he says, you hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. You ever have those nights where you just can't sleep? Something is just eating away at you. Something is just in this life, something is shaking you. And your past would come back to haunt you in some way, and you remember the pains this life has brought. Or you've lost somebody recently. And you seem like you're just sinking, right? Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Will his mercy cease forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. It all seems lost. It feels like God isn't hearing you. And it seems like his favor has been taken away from you. And you call and there seems to be no answer. And you're in anguish. When your life seems like it's falling apart and the world turns black, and it seems like everyone's against you and you're in need of help. There's days in life that you feel like you're really being tested, and when you were told about God's goodness, about his blessings and his answers and his love, and then you ask yourself, where is it all now? When something has come upon you, how quickly do we forget God's goodness? It's easy to do that in this life, isn't it? When you get controlled by the weight of what's happening around us instead of the weightlessness that God has gifted us with. When you get controlled by the weight of what's happening around us instead of the weightlessness that God has gifted us. And then you see here in this powerful psalm here, just all of a sudden, the psalmist starts singing. and soaring, and something happens here. In our greatest despair, his light so shines in the darkness. All of a sudden, in the anguish, what God has done comes to remembrance. Verse 10 says, "And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely, I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all of your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great that God is our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have, with your arm, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah." Thank you, Jesus. There's a word here, we at Malvern, the Bible Chapel, we love and we hold so dearly. It has something to do with the first service, if anyone can guess what it is, right? To remember what the Lord has done. What great things the Lord has done. Through all these years, God was and is and forever will be in control. Somewhere, someone here might not know this, but in order to remember something, you first have to, you have to hear it, right? So faith comes by what? And hearing by what? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God is what the word, is what the Bible says. And the bread that we take in the morning, right? So the communion, people call it, right? The remembrance, the bread that we break, it symbolizes the body of Jesus being broken so that today we can proclaim his death until he comes and remember his sacrifice for us all. The juice, or the grape juice, right? It symbolizes the blood of Jesus being shed for us and for our sins. And it shows the judgment. It tells of the crucifixion. It tells of the punishment. And all those things that we should have received. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, just like you already, like you said earlier, Sam, right? The bread, the temple curtain, Jesus on the cross, the sin that has plagued the world from the beginning was broken. It was rent in twain, so to bring reconciliation to all. Paul said, "I have given you the teaching I received from the Lord. The night Jesus was handed over to the soldiers, I took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'Take this bread and eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Jesus Christ himself paid for your sins on the cross. And salvation doesn't come from effort. It doesn't come from your own goodness. It doesn't come from anything else other than the mercy of God. But all these other belief systems, they say that you can earn that. But our good deeds are like filthy rags in front of God. This is what the Word of God says. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus. By believing in him. Believing that although we deserve hell and are guilty of sinning before an almighty God, God took his wrath out on Jesus that terrible day thousands of years ago. Right there on that piece of wood. And that cross. Why is the symbol of the cross still so powerful and prevalent today? It's the place that God himself allowed there to be forgiveness for all the world. When I hear the word remembrance, what comes to mind, it's the Lord's Supper. It really is. And just this morning was the first time I was able to experience that in a number of months. And it just touched my soul like it does every time. And I've been to many churches where they do that, you know, once every few months or maybe once a year. Some churches not even at all. But I've been invited to remember the great things that God has done in the past, in my past, in your past, your past, your past, Bob's past, right? You remember the past. So too, you can also understand more the present and the future to come. And what's so amazing about God is that when we're talking about the past and bringing to remembrance what this life has brought, after you've believed on Jesus Christ for salvation, He doesn't bring up your past anymore because it's all been paid for. You can remember His goodness and His love now. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will forgive their wickedness." God said, "I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." God remembers to forget. You know, my friends tell me I have the memory of a goldfish sometimes. Not all forgetfulness is bad, Sarah Grace Curley. Not all forgetfulness is bad. Because when you're forgetting something, it sometimes will have you remember more so. It'll have you remember more so what is on your heart. And it can be a blessing in disguise. Hear me, church. Let the sin that's in the past stay there. Don't let it control you because it has been nailed to the cross. Stop trying to take it down. I think sometimes we can go up to the cross of Christ and we can try to pull out those nails again. But nothing in this life is able to do that. Don't remember your sin anymore. Remember the Savior. See, the enemy, he operates in shame. When you've done something wrong, right, in your past, He wants to bring up your past, ultimately to bring you away from God, away from the cross of Christ. Yes, we've fallen short. Yes, we've made mistakes. But you have to go to the only place that you can. It's back to Him. But the Holy Spirit operates in conviction when you know you've messed up and you know you've done it again. Don't let there be distance between you and the only one who's able to forgive you. You run to the cross of Christ where your sins were taken away, to the Savior's loving embrace. The enemy is just trying to kill, steal, and destroy the things that God has given you. But I was just randomly just reminded yesterday, and it might have been you, Mr. Pope, in the back there. God's before you and beside you and around you. He's behind me, beside me, in front of me, above me, below me. He's in me. And God's there at all times, everywhere. He's going to be with you to the very end of the age. Have you ever came to that realization yet in this life that you're lost or you're broken, you're ashamed, that you're a failure, that you're afraid, you're in anguish, you're in trouble? You know, the enemy always has something to say, but God has something to say first. And I was talking to my mom on the phone last week. I was telling her the name of the sermon. I called it The Restless Soul, and she said, she asked, "Do you have a restless soul?" And I said, "No, Mom, not anymore." That's what I say now, is no, not anymore. It's because of what He's done. By grace through faith, I've been forgiven. And then I go back and I remember His love again at the cross, and I remember the forgiveness again, and I remember His mercy again. And that's where Psalm 103, it finds true meaning. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." All that's within me. Bless His holy name. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, and slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so far hath he. So great is, so far, sorry, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as from the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And I don't understand it all. I can't comprehend it all. I can't tell you enough about him. And I can't explain it enough. But like Psalm 150 says, no matter what, I'll praise him. Either way, I'm going to praise him in his holy name. I'm going to praise him in his sanctuary. I'm going to praise him for his mighty acts. I'm going to praise him with my soul. I'm going to praise him for the cross. I'm going to praise him for his mercy, and I'm going to praise him for his grace that was given. I'm going to praise him for the love that he showed. What Jesus did on the cross of Calvary is as powerful as today as it was back then. And he saw it fit through my unworthiness to save me. And he picked me up out of the pit, and he took this poor imprisoned spirit, and he made a preacher out of me. And you know that salvation's nearer today than it was when we first believed. Yesterday was close to the Lord Jesus returning, and today is ever closer still. Tomorrow might never come. This fallen world is divisive with its ways, and it leaves you feeling empty, and it leaves you always chasing after something other than God. But I can tell you about something that he gave me some time ago. I was just listening, the Holy Spirit just gave me something powerful. That the Bible and your relationship with God and creation, they're all captivating complex. They're a captivating complex compilation of the risings and fallings. A captivating complex compilation of risings and fallings. It's all filled with risings and fallings, this life, everything, the Word of God. God raising up the heavens and the mountains, carving out the deepest depths, placing all the lilies in the valley, raising up the thousands of hills and placing his cattle on them, raising up the human race from the dust of the earth. And then mankind with its freedom, falling by the trespass of one man. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And creation falls, and all seemingly lost. But God wasn't finished yet. And I don't know who needs to hear these words, but God's not finished yet with your story. Hallelujah, what a Savior. God then raising up those of renown, raising up prophets, bringing the Word of God to the world, to draw people back to him, to bring reconciliation. For thousands of years, God in his patience, giving people chance after chance after chance. And he spat it back in his face. And they killed the prophets. They wanted to chase after their own desires. But still God in his mercy, in his kindness, in his grace, God so loved the world. Wherever that plaque is. For God so loved the world. He gave us the greatest gift in the womb of a virgin. This child is destined to cause the rising and falling, the falling and rising of many in Israel. And people gnash their teeth at him even today. They scoff at his words and they mock his memory. The Savior of the world was raised up on the earth. And then he went there to that holy hill outside of the city. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And he was lifted up, the greatest display the world will ever see. So by also one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And like you were saying earlier, Sam, we can't understand it fully. Can't understand the fullness of the cross of Christ, because when I talk about God, I talk about justice. Talk about love and kindness and mercy, but you talk about justice. And then that's what we deserve for what we've done, for how we've fallen short, for how we've sinned against God and for everything in my life. I'm an absolute spiritual failure. But even though that all happened, he still did that. He still went in my place. It was the sinless for the sin-filled. Man of sorrows, dying for unpardoned sinners. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. One sacrifice for all people, all races, for all time. And it's there that guilt is replaced by grace. God's mercy is renewed every morning. Death loses its sting. Grace is being given in place of grace already given. Goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. Heavenly love knows no limits. And nothing in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God which is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, anyone?
Amen.
Nothing can keep you from that cross. I've been fully persuaded. Death or life isn't able to do that. Angels, principalities, or powers, height or depth or anything else in creation can separate you. Nothing can separate you from Jesus. And he arose. He arose, hallelujah, he arose. And it chased me down. The love of God shown at Calvary, even though I rebelled against him, even though I sought my own way, and I couldn't escape his presence. The sense of eternity all around me. He was always there. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore we must give more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. For in the word spoken through angels, proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Some in here might be drifting away. And the cares of this life are leading you off the path. The pains of this life are causing you to not trust in his plan. Hear my words, please. Weeping may endure for a night, but as God is my witness, joy comes in the morning. And it all starts here. First, falling at the feet of Jesus in faith, crying out to him from the depths of your soul, asking for his mercy, and rising up forgiven forever. And we, the living, still in these bodies of sin and death, are going to fall. But the righteous one, though falling seven times, gets back up in repentance. And they repent again. And then you fall back down on your knees again. And then you wait upon the Lord, and he renews your strength, and you're being raised back up again, right? Bouncing up with wings like eagles, running and not growing weary, and walking and not fainting. For those who have believed in Christ in the last day will be raised up as the church gets caught up in the air to be where he is. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose none, but should raise him up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. If you never step foot in a church again after today, just remember these words. There's nothing in this life that God has not already paid for. There's nothing that you've done that his blood cannot cleanse. There's no sin that you've committed that he's not willing to forget. All you have to do is look up to heaven with godly sorrow in your heart. You ask for that forgiveness. He said if you seek him, you're going to find him. You have to seek him with all of your heart. Things today in life, we do things without, sometimes without thought, without thinking, without our heart really in it. And then it's just emotion, it's just pointlessness. You go to God just as you are. Just know that he's going to forgive you every single time, because that's who he is. Are there any witnesses here tonight, today? Are there any witnesses here today of God's mercy? Anyone here?
Yes,
anyone? Is there any witnesses of what God has done? Anyone who's received this mercy and forgiveness already? Someone in here may never have been forgiven. Someone here might never have gone before the Lord and looked at the cross where he died and understood that the death that he died was for them. But he took his place. And as long as I live, I'm never going to assume I'm speaking to a church that where everyone is saved. Every single person has a relationship with Jesus and they're going to heaven right now if they die today. I could never do that. But just know that there at the cross of Christ, all earthly emotions find answers and chains give way. And that's where it all begins. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith. I received my sight and now I'm happy all the day. The same place where you start spiritually is the same place that you have to continually go back to remember what good things the Lord has done. No matter how far in life you've strayed, or no matter how far in life you've come, you have to remember where it all started. Remember where it all happened. Remember how it came to be. Have you received forgiveness today? Do you know where you'll be when you die? Do you know Jesus? Take all these questions to God and he's going to give you these answers. But I've got my answer. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is I who no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. Go back to the feet of Christ, to the foot of the cross where he is, knowing. That'll always be the best place to be. That's where you learn to worship. That's where you learn to navigate this life. That's where you find true peace. That's where the restless soul finds rest. And I couldn't lie to you. I couldn't lead you in a wrong direction. You just go to the one who's able to keep you until the end. You just go to Jesus. And he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Look at that right there. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let them be afraid. One of those well-known verses, he said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Eternal life doesn't start when you die. It can start right now. It starts at the feet of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we look to you in this time, in these moments, God. I pray that someone receive this message, Lord, with an open heart, God. We know that this world brings trouble. In the world, we have tribulation. But we can take heart because you've overtaken the world. You've overcome the world, Lord. You're always there, Lord, even in our bed. Even in our worst moments, in our sleepless nights, in our despair, in our pain, in our anguish, you're still there. You said you would never leave us or forsake us. No one's going to pluck us out of your hand. Lord, I don't know who needed to hear this, God, and I don't know where everyone is, Lord. But I pray that you so shine your light in their life. God, in their hearts and their soul. They see you for who you are. Savior of all. Pray in Jesus' name.